I'm going to read Gerard Manley Hopkins' Rowing in the Harvest. When I chose this poem, I thought it was the first poem I'd learnt by heart at school. But I've since realised that I'd forgotten about G.K. Chesterton's The Donkey, which I learnt in elocution lessons, and that I'd previously learnt the part of Jocasta in Oedipus the King, as I played Jocasta with my voice unbroken in my all-boys school production. Pretty good reasons to forget both of these precedents, I think. Although I remember Hurrahing in Harvest well enough to recite it with some halting, I haven't read it from the page in decades. When I learnt the poem, it was the glorious rhetorical question at the end of the first stanza which swept me away. Now I'm more suspicious of the desire to submit, perhaps because I live in a country in whose songs both religion and sexual love often sound like a death wish. What I value in Hurrahing in Harvest is the crashing shift of gear between the first two stanzas into those assertive monosyllabic first-person verbs. The moment doesn't last long, it's back to another rhetorical question, which seeks to support religious faith through rhetorical parallelism. But the interplay between ribboning dissolution and staccato assertiveness is the real stuff of this poem for me. Without the reinforcing parallelism of the questions that spiral up and out at the end of the first two stanzas, I'd be tempted to rejoin the Divot Cloud formation as the nearest you've got to a rapturous love's greeting, Gerard. The more pity you. But then this rhetoric does ramp up further into the full-throttle expression of homosexual longing, which it allows to sound like a cosmic force. The prosody of the poem is governed by the poem's organisation into three seemingly unstoppable sentences, one per stanza, by the stutteringly excited rhythm. Because this was the first real poem I learnt, there seemed nothing peculiar to me about this metre. At a deep level, probably this is how I think a poem should sound. I can't say I noticed the poem as a sonnet, nor that it is rhymed so insistently. The rhythmic rush and stutter makes rhyme, which would seem oppressively restricted in a more regular sonnet, feel more like a sequence of wonderful accidents. There are some less flagrant rhetorical touches. Why are the stooks barbarous? Only because they are made from straw and grain, they look shaggy. We're reminded too that every ear of barley is bearded. So here's another ingenious sleight. I've never before questioned the barbarousness of stooks, but after all, stooks are more commonly associated with a harvest-time idyll, the calm after hard labour, or more recently with Monet's haystacks. But Hopkins wants that force from the first to be felt in the landscape. It prepares for the world-wielding shoulder of the third stanza. The hills are hung, and they are like a stallion stalwart. I think Hopkins is betraying himself here. Doesn't violet sweet smuggle in violent sweet? And the end of the poem does sound like sexual climax. But the odd thing is this poem has become almost abstract to me. I'm not a Catholic nor a Christian, and though I read it as a Catholic poem, I don't hear it as such and never did. Neither did I read it as an expression of homosexual desire, although it's harder to disregard that after my subsequent training in reading. Hurrahing in Harvest is a dizzy-making poem in a different way. It proposes that beyond religion and sex, a poem, even if it treats of religion and sex, can exercise a power independent of these and as fundamental. I still don't know quite how to describe that power, beyond saying that the simultaneous drive to dissolution and assertion of agency here, and their cadential dynamic, feels like the way in which I experience briefly those moments of self-formation which permit me to feel wholly alive. It's as though my internal organs, including my brain, work on such a principle. Hurrahing in Harvest. Summer ends now. Now, barbarous in beauty, the stooks rise around. Up above, what wind walks, what lovely behaviour of silk sack clouds. Has wilder, wilful, wavier meal drift moulded ever and melted across skies? I walk, I lift up heart, eyes, down all that glory in the heavens to glean our Saviour. And eyes, heart, what looks, what lips yet gave you a rapturous love's greeting of realer, of rounder replies. And the azurous hung hills are his world-wielding shoulder, majestic, as a stallion stalwart, very violet sweet. These things were here and but the beholder wanting, which two, when they once meet, the heart rears wings bold and bolder, and hurls for him, oh, half hurls earth for him off under his feet.